finish taking Bibles, scriptures, and letters of Romans. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 15 in chapters 1. And if you're standing in reverence to God, this is where you get it. Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was the descendant of David according to the flesh, and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, including you, who are also called by Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, loved by God, called as saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in telling the good news about his Son. That I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you, for I want very much to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have had among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. You may be seated. Last Wednesday, we finished our study in the Gospel of Luke, and part of our message there was, what do we do next? Well, Jesus had sent out his disciples into all the world to proclaim the good news. Paul wasn't there at that time. He was called a little bit later. He had started out as being one opposed to the message of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And he met God on the road heading to Damascus. He was blinded by a light from heaven. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus says, "It is I. And now go into the town. You'll be met by somebody who will tell you what to do." God had chosen Paul at that point, Saul, to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And now I've given you a handout, and there's a little timeline there of Paul's ministry. And a little outline of the events of the New Testament and when the books were written. And Romans was not the first of Paul's letter that he wrote. And it was actually written at the end of his third missionary journey. Now, the way we have the letters of Paul written recorded in the New Testament, the order they're in, it just goes from the longest letter he wrote to the shortest. Romans is the longest one. Philemon was the shortest one. And then the rest fall in based on their length. But if you want to look at when the letters were written, they're not sure exactly when Galatians were written, so it offers there are several different places. But the other one on there, in the New Testament against the curve, gives you a list of all the books of the New Testament, as well as the Gospels. You can use that as a reference. Now, you have permission to copy that. Copyrighting and permission right there at the end. But I can't put it on the website right now. Paul, why did he write this letter? Now, I had to think about it. Writing letters is something we don't do very much anymore. They'll send a text message. But writing a formal letter is almost a lost art. And Lee, I don't know if they taught you how to write a letter at school. I'm pretty sure, Carson, they haven't told you the correct way to write a formal letter. But a formal letter would start with something like two, and then after the whole letter's over, it tells you who's from. Now, I always thought that was a little odd, because you sometimes, who's writing this? And you want to go down to the bottom of the letter to find out who wrote it. That was a formal letter that we do in the United States right now. But at this time, they did their introduction a little clearer. It starts with, who's writing this letter? And then who is written to? Now there's an old commercial for a broker. And the commercial, people are talking about how they're making money, and one guy says, but my broker is E.F. Hutton. Everybody stops when they hear what E.F. Hutton said. Well, it's important who the message is from. It's not just a nobody that is unknown to the people in the room, but there are many individuals that know about Paul, many personally. He, in chapter 16, addresses 26 different people by name that he's had interaction with, and there were many others that have heard about Paul. Now, I don't remember who did it, but somebody took a picture that Lana and I had. It was just the two of us, and they were showing what AI can do. And suddenly, we start moving. Now, it was a two-dimensional picture. There was no video with it. But the person that used AI, that was best of it. And the person we just listened. And suddenly, someone that's supposed to be Billy Graham walks up, and he's going to walk by, and he looks at it, stuff up his arm. And so the photo goes from just a picture, I think it was in the church directory, a long, long time ago, and it moved to where Billy Graham's coming up in Covenants. Just showing you what AI can do. And I know Billy Graham didn't come up in Covenants. I know we didn't have movement in that picture when it was taken. It was when I still had hair. And it wasn't gray. I remember what Christopher said. He had a full head of gray hair. And I asked, do you mind your hair turning gray? No, not at all. I just don't like it turning loose. Well, mine's done both. Well, Paul is introducing himself to the believers in Rome. Now, he's not writing to a specific church. He's writing to all those who are saints, and we're going to get into what saints means in just a minute. But Paul says, I am a servant, and the literal Greek is slave. The Greek word is doulos. I am a slave of the anointed one, Christ, Jesus. I'm the one that I'm proud to be owned by God itself. And I'm called as an apostle. Remember that. He was heading to persecute the church. Well, God changed his mission to be one of proclaiming the gospel. And he's called by God and set apart for the gospel of God. Now, if you've ever seen the movie, got all the dogs, and anytime they see a squirrel, they go out there. And that's what happens to me sometimes in the industry. I did a squirrel thing with a picture. But Paul does it too. As soon as he mentions that word gospel, he's got to chase down what gospel means. Now, gospel is a word meaning good news. And he's going to explain a little bit more about the gospel. He said, that gospel, that good news, is not something new. It's something that all the Old Testament has already talked about. And the good news relates to Jesus Christ. So he's wanting to explain to them, he's called to share the good news about Jesus Christ, but it's not a new message, not some newfangled thing like taking a still photograph and making a motion picture using AI. That's something new. It's sort of scary to think what they can do. You can have a picture that somebody gets of you, and suddenly you're doing something that you never did. The potential there is something you need to watch out for. That's a new message. And then when Paul mentions Jesus Christ, he's got to chase another little rabbit. He goes, now, Jesus, he was a descendant of David, according to the flesh. So he's 100% human, but he's also 100% God. But he is the Son of God through the resurrection of the dead. Jesus is 100% man, 100% God, and walking on earth. There are some people, even at the time of Jesus and the time of Paul, that had a view that nothing physical, fleshly, can be good. And so they had to use a word we have to explain about Jesus. He was just a hologram. He really wasn't here. He just appeared to walk among us. He appeared to die on the cross, but he was never here because he couldn't be 100% human because humanity, the flesh, is sinful. God couldn't be sinful. So Jesus was 100% man without sin. 100% God at the same time. It wasn't a hologram that died for us on the cross. It was a man who lived a sinful life. He was also God in body. And Paul says he's writing for those, verse 7, who are in Rome, loved by God and called as saints. Now, that reference, called, goes back to a passage in Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, which Paul quotes in chapter 9 of Romans in verse 26. 25 and 26. It says, Romans 9, 25. As it also says in Hosea, I will call not my people, my people, and she who is unloved, beloved. And it will be in the place where they were told, you are not my people. There they will be called sons of a living God. So back in their introduction, Paul's talking about those that have been called by a new name are called children of God and saints. Now that doesn't mean he's talking about people that have little halos around their head. He's talking about those that are saved by grace. Paul uses this term in Romans chapter 8, verse 27. He says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And chapter 15, Romans, verse 25. "Right now, I am traveling to Jerusalem to serve the saints, because Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem." So when Paul is talking in chapter 1, verse 7, about to those loved by God and called to be saints, he's talking about the special relationship we have with God because of what God has done. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, and yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God loves us, and we are called not sinners, but called saints, because of what God has done. And that's his grace. Grace, that word means unmerited favor. Now, on our recent trip, we had the opportunity to go to Orlando, and there's a place called Disney Springs. It's a shopping place. And all the ladies were happy to go there. But Wes, who made an AI, had it on his bucket list. He wanted to ride in a car in the water and discover that Disney Springs, they had was amphibious cars from the 1960s. Apparently, there's one thing that Walt Disney bought up a whole bunch of them, and they've got 8 to 12 of them there. Some of the last ones left in the world. You can ride out on the lake on these cars. Well, line enabled some things and made it happen. So Wes got his bucket list and his whole family. I got to tag along with what I do. So I got to ride in a car on the water. But he still lives in that. I kept looking for 3 weeks from there. But car. You know, I get leaks in my car when it rains. And there, they'll probably drive through a deep puddle. But it's driving out the lake. So, and if you don't believe it, you can go look at the internet. There's pictures there. I think a lot of my youth posts from riding in the car in the water. Well, it was grace. The second law. And a bucket list. It wasn't because he had done anything special other than American God. All of his gracious. But it was something that he wasn't working for. It was just something he got the opportunity to provide and peace. Grace and peace both come from God. We, as sinners, before our sins were born, are enemies of God. And we have peace with God. Right now, there's been wars going on in various places in our world. Israel, Ukraine, Russia, wars, and people are trying to bring peace there. Two opposing forces brought into a new relationship. Well, our sin lies against God's holiness. But Jesus brings peace with God. And Paul then in verse 8, explains why he wrote the letter. He said, first, I want to thank God because I've heard about your faith all over the world. I mean, that's what Paul's saying. Everywhere I've been, people talk about the faith of the Romans. Now, Paul had never been to Rome. We don't know who started the church, but there's a good indication in Acts chapter 2, or Acts, when Pentecost happened, there were many from Rome that were visiting Jerusalem. Sorry. Became believers. They heard the gospel. And went back home from many of those 26 that Paul wrote to by name, mentioned at the end of the letter, had become believers. And they traveled back to Rome. It was the largest city, the capital of the world, if you will, at that time. This saying goes, all roads lead to Rome. Because Rome was the center of culture, the center of political power, the center of military power, and as Rome conquered the world, they wanted people to be able to travel to Rome, especially wanted the taxes to be able to come. So they made Rome roads going everywhere. And many people that Paul had led to Christ traveled to Rome. And it seems like there were several churches in Rome, because Paul, in his other letters, writes to the church in such and such a city. But here he just writes to all who are in Rome, loved by God, all the saints, all the believers in Rome. And he does mention one church that meets in the corner of Priscilla's house, but there were other churches also. And then Paul also says, I wanted to visit to you. I wanted to visit you, and I've been trying to do it for a while, but God hasn't let me do it yet. But I'm looking forward to visiting you. But first, I got to go to Jerusalem because there's a famine going on in Jerusalem, and the Christians there are suffering, and the churches where I've been ministering in Macedonia and Asia, they took up an offering, and I'm going to deliver. And we know from the book of Acts that it was on his trip to deliver that offering that he gets arrested. And he comes to Rome not as a free man, but in chains, waiting to have his case heard before Caesar. But Paul also says, not only have I wanted to see you, not only have I been given thanks about your faith, but I want to encourage you and be encouraged by you. Now, they're living in a pagan world. It's not a Christian city, Rome. It was a place that at some times they would take Christians and have them fight wild animals in Circus Maximus as entertainment. It said Nero would have Christians set on fire and be tortured at some of his festivals. Now, at this time, it's not during the reign of Nero, but it is a time where still Christianity is not the primary religion. The Christians are a small minority, and there's all kind of pagan worship going on all around. Sort of like what we're facing right now. Now, in case you haven't looked through government, it's being resumed. There are a lot of people that are going to be celebrating today. But they're not celebrating the Creator. Not going to be singing like a song holy to our Creator. They're going to be doing things that you don't want to be on the road after they partake of their celebrations. That's the kind of place it was in Rome. That Rome was a place that indulged in all kinds of sinful behavior. We're living in a sinful place. We need to be encouraged to put our own in following God. That we haven't made the wrong choice. And we can encourage one another how to live and walk alive. We can encourage one another to remember life here is just temporary. We have forever. It's coming. Forever to the Lord. But we are a Christian. And that's encouraging when we see all kinds of evil forms. But also, Paul goes on to say, verse 14, I am obligated both to the Greek and the barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. Remember, Paul's called as an apostle to the Gentile. And I'm called to those that are barbarians. That's what the little Greek word means. And I'm called to the culture, the Greeks, the intellectuals. Carl, McLean, the gospel, all. So Paul says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Sunday, we're going to look at more details about what the gospel is. The good news. The good news, you need to understand that it's also an understanding of the bad news that you have to hear before the good news. On our prayer list, we have many praises. Praises about things that happened after the bad news. Healing is not good news unless you're sick first. And we need to understand that we are sick, we have a disease called sin, and there's healing. And that's the good. So as we begin a new year, let us remember to be eager, like Paul, to share the good news wherever we go. That is my mission. Lord, I thank you that we come here to encourage one another. Let us be continually encouraging one another in this sinful world. Encouraged to follow you, to be obedient to the faith, not obedient to the words, but obedient to faith, knowing that you are.